Okay, good to see you, everyone. We don't have these chances to meet, but it's good kinda to see everyone every now and then, kinda all together. Actually, I have a custom of meeting the servant each year, you know, during the beginning of the Fast of the Apostles, because this is very important. But before I start, I just want to tell you that, you know, I want to thank God we had such a wonderful day today. Maybe you've seen the news or you heard, but Bishop Paul was all over the news meeting President Bush this afternoon. And yeah, if you go to CNN or all these news websites, he was there, and the president promised to double the budget for AIDS in Africa to $30 billion in the next 5 years instead of $15 billion. And he honored the Bishop Paul, which is something really, really wonderful and amazing. And I can't explain it. Just go see it. You know, it was just such a wonderful day. And it showed how God really honors those who honor him. It shows how God honors his servants and honors those who honor him. You know that, you know, Sayyidina works, you know, and just behind the scenes does a lot for the mission, for the church, and, you know, for, you know, the people and the AIDS, and work tirelessly for that. And just the toughest job ever, you know, helping people in so many aspects and extending the kingdom of God. This is how I see it. Someone who's really working for the kingdom of God. And that's actually inspired me today. And I wasn't going to speak about that. And, you know, we're not talking about politics and, you know, how much money going for AIDS. But we're talking about extending the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and being part of it. Today's liturgy, we had the liturgy in the morning before we went to the White House. And the reading of the gospel was actually, I can get it from here. Said exactly. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Isn't that beautiful? Just today, this morning, in the liturgy. Okay, again, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Of course, we're not talking about honoring of people, but sometimes God shows how he honors his servants in so many ways, with so many blessings, you know. So, isn't it a unique and amazing chance to, you know, to give us incentive to work with him, to be his servants? Not only for the honor that he's going to give us, but just, you know, the least of loving him and the least of acknowledging his love is to work for his kingdom and work for him. When Jesus met Peter after the resurrection, Peter was so embarrassed of himself because what he did and the denial. And Jesus told him, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know." He said, "Feed my flock. Tend my sheep. Take care of my kingdom, not your kingdom." Okay, so that was just, you know, as I told you, an example of God really honoring those who honor him. Honoring those who honor him. And it's amazing. The thing is, when God honors those who honor him, they feel not worthy of this honor. And the most amazing thing, that those who are doing a lot for the Lord, they feel like they are doing nothing. And those who are not doing anything for God and doing things for themselves, they feel like they're doing a lot and more than a lot of people. And the service is just too much. And, you know, they're going out of their way to serve God. It's so amazing how those who are really working hard for Him and for His kingdom, you know, feel like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just getting, I'm receiving, I'm being blessed. I'm just being there and serving God. Okay? So that's half of the day. The second half of the day, we did the closing on the house next door. So the property of the kingdom of heaven extended from 15 acres to 17 acres. Okay? So that's another way of extending the kingdom of God, right? Some churches, you know, not particularly the Coptic church, but they believe like the more you add land to the church is like you're extending the kingdom of God. Of course, extending the kingdom of God is by people and heart, but it's a way of extending the kingdom. But again, if you are a servant or you're a small group leader, are you keen for the kingdom of God? Is it burning in your heart or not? And I want to make sure that it is, especially during the season, the Feast of the Apostles. To tell you the truth from a personal experience, every year, okay, this is an honest thing. Let me tell you, during Lent, you know, I work that much, okay? And I get that much. Like we fast and we do matanias and we pray and we increase prayers and we do more liturgies and things like this. And, you know, we get something in return. But I promise you, every year, especially during the Feast of Pentecost and during the Feast of the Apostles, I do that and God gives me this. Again, because it's the promise of the Father. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's His good pleasure to fill you. It's His good pleasure. He wants to do that. Okay? So, you know why the church fast, the fast of the apostles, especially after Pentecost? First of all, because Feast of Pentecost is the most important feast in the church, period. It is the birthday of the church. It's where the church started. It's where the church was born. It's when things started getting serious. Before that, the disciples were on another world, on another planet. Jesus is talking this, they're talking that. Okay? He's going this way, they're going that way. It's only when the Holy Spirit came upon the church in Pentecost, where the church and the believers knew what God's will is, and they walked with Him. Okay? So it is the most important feast in the church. And the church said, there is no way we're going to celebrate that. Just one day. Just one day to receive the Spirit. And what if someone is sick? What if someone missed that feast? Even though, when you read the epistles of St. Paul, he said, I will make sure to spend Pentecost in Jerusalem. Why Pentecost? Why not the Feast of the Resurrection? It's the most important feast. He said, no. The apostles used to gather together during the Feast of Pentecost every year and pray. So the Holy Spirit who came the first Pentecost, every year there's Pentecost. The first one where the tongues of fire came and the church started, but every year they would celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. St. Paul comes from the end of the world. Imagine, St. Paul doesn't waste a single day. St. Paul doesn't care about, oh, the apostles, you know, they're hanging out, you know, let's, you know, go spend a couple of days with them. No, he doesn't have time for that. You know, even when he started his ministry, he didn't go spend time with the apostles. But Pentecost, he said, I will make sure to spend Pentecost in Jerusalem. Why? Because there is something special. There is a special gift that God is giving the church during this feast. But the apostle said, it's not enough to be just one day. Let's extend that. Let's take time of fasting after Pentecost in order to be filled more with the Holy Spirit, number one. Number two, that's why, you know, we're getting you, or we're calling you into a meeting, is getting God's vision for the church and for my ministry. Am I getting a vision from God? Vision, what's next? How God is using me? Or, you know, I do my best, try to be there, you know, I try to prepare my lesson or do outreach or be there on time. Is that what's our goal? Is that our dream in ministry, in serving God, in extending the kingdom of heaven, in honoring God? Is that the extent of it? Or there are dreams after that, and there is vision from God. What are you going to do? I'm going to give you more. And the more you work out the muscles of the Holy Spirit that He's giving you, He's going to give you more. He's going to give you more. The more you use what you have, He's going to give you more. The more you don't use what you have, the more you lose it. The more you lose it. It's like working out your muscles. So, the church decided to fast, to be filled with the Spirit during this time, to get God's vision for the church in general and for every and each one individually. What's my vision? What's my ministry? Is my ministry, you know, showing up to small groups or to the Sunday school classroom on Sunday? Is that God's vision for me? Do you think that this is a vision from God? But it's much more than this. Saving souls, lives, as I said, extending the kingdom of heaven. Extending the kingdom of heaven on earth. So, every year, the Holy Spirit would give the church a new vision, new goals, new power. He said that you receive power from above. We get power during this time in order to go through it. And when I'm talking about the fast of the apostles, I'm not talking about the fast, you know, food thing and no, get this out of your mentality and your mind. I'm not talking about the food. I'm talking about the season. It's the dedication and consecration of this time. If anyone should dedicate, fast, and consecrate this time for the kingdom of God, should be those who are serving. You know? And if we cannot do that, then we're just fooling ourselves. We're honoring ourselves and not honoring God. And that's a condemnation. We want to honor Him. I don't want to do my vision for my ministry, the things that's good for me, my comfort zone, but God's vision, God's mission for the church. What was the quiet time on Monday? Yeah, sorry. What was it on Tuesday? Yeah, the anointing of Jesus in Bethany. The woman, or she's most probably Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who put the alabaster. She's not the sinful woman. It's different than the one in Luke 7. Luke 7 is the sinful woman. But this is Mary, sister of Lazarus. Jesus came, brought another alabaster, you know, speaking art, and poured it all over his head. And of course, when you pour something out of his head, 90% is going where? On the floor. And just 10% will stay. That's why the disciples looked at this and said, oh my goodness, this is waste. The most amazing thing when Jesus looked at this, and it's so amazing when Jesus said, no, don't bother her. She did a good thing. Wow. How did she knew? How did she know that this is a good thing? How? The only way that she was so close to him and she knew exactly how he thinks. You know what this woman did? She did exactly like Jesus, believe it or not. She had exactly the same mind and mentality of the Lord Jesus. Because the love that Jesus did on the cross was waste. A lot of waste. And that waste represented so much love, like you can use only 10% if you're lucky. And the rest, so much waste. You know, the Egyptian, when they had like two people and they prepare meal that for 200 or 2,000 people, you know, what is that? Waste. But they do it lovingly. What is this waste? You know, if Jesus died with an arrow or he got shot, would have done exactly the same thing. He just needed to die, to shed his blood. But why the scourging? And why the thorns? And why the spitting? And why is this? Why is that? And all what we need is the blood of Jesus. He dies, we use his blood for forgiveness. That's it. Why everything else? Why the shame? Why the cross? Why the piercing of the hands and the foot? Why? What is this? Waste. Not waste. Waste in a loving way. So much love, like, overwhelms everyone. She did exactly the same. Why you shed your blood everywhere? All what we need, just one drop of the blood of the Lord Jesus is enough to save the entire world. That's what we say in theology. Just one drop of his blood. Why so much drops? Why blood is everywhere? Why bloody death like this? Waste. That's love. She was able to know his mentality and how he thinks. She did the same. She did something very good. Right on that, you know, she did it really well. And the question to you is, will you do like the disciples? Say, oh, this is a waste. Why do that? A lot of people wasting their lives for the love of Jesus, because they knew that he wasted his life so much in an amazing way for them. Okay? So, going back to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, what is the dream? Who goes to the Lord and tells him, what is your dream? Want to fulfill a dream for you? What is your dream? What do you want me to do? All my money, all my life just goes for waste in order to please you for a couple of minutes. I would do that. Just tell me. This woman was led by the Holy Spirit to do that. So, won't you ask for the Spirit to guide you and lead you to do God's will? It's the time where you renew your vows of ministry and serving God and searching your purpose in doing that. What if my purpose is messed up? Fix it. Pray. Let the Holy Spirit purge, cleanse, and show me God's will for my life. But not just to, you know, give up and, you know, take it easy. That's not the mentality of the Lord Jesus. The mentality is love that is pouring, even if it's not used. You know, we always do what's necessary. Let's give to the poor, you know, so we do a good thing and let's count it. Let's give just, you know, why this waste? Could have given to the poor. It's not necessary. It's not important. It's illogic. And logic doesn't have any place in the kingdom of God. So, what I want to tell you is, I want you to dedicate and consecrate this fast in order to get God's vision God's dream for you personally and for the church. I would love one to come and tell me, Abuna, you know what? We want to do this project. How do you think in the world we started any project here in the church? How did we start Mission Life Center? How did we start Orthodox Sermons? How did we start any of the ministry, the clinic in the church, or helping this, or all the ministries we're doing? Do you think I slept at night, I had a vision, a dream, and in the morning I kept begging people to do it? No. People had this vision and came and begged me to do it, and I gave them hard time. We don't have expenses for that. We don't have money for that. I don't have any time for you. And they kept begging because they got a vision from God. And they did it. That's how we started things. What is your vision for your ministry and for the church? I would love for people to come in the end of the fast and tell me, Abuna, you know what? We need to do this. And I'm going to give you a hard time. Tell me, no, God told me that we need to do that. And I tell you, prove that to me. And your persistence and your prayer will prove it in the end. For what? For the kingdom of God. So in the end, you're going to tell God, you know, I had, you know, the advantage of being a part of your kingdom, and I did that. Little, very little small things here and there. Everyone has a vision, and God has a dream for you. Let him tell you what his dream is. Don't just be content with what you have. The apostles never thought this way. They never dreamt to invade the whole world. But the Holy Spirit gave them power to do that. He gave them the ability to do that. He gave them the vision and the power to do it. But how are we going to do this? Number one, ask. He said, ask and you will receive the Holy Spirit, of course. But we're not going to spend the fast on our bed, on our couches, asking, on our knees. Asking, you know, and begging on our knees. Because God won't tell you his dream that easily. But guess what? Once you got the dream, and once you act on it, Jesus will say, like he said to the woman, or Mary, the sister of Lazarus, don't bother the woman. She did a good thing. And whenever this gospel is preached all over the world, it will be given credit to her. She will be honored. You must honor this woman because she honored me. She did something absolutely crazy, doesn't make any sense. Even the leaders of the church said, you are crazy. What did she do? She put a smile on the face of the Lord. She did a vision for it. He said, I was waiting for that. You know what? Nobody will put any spices for my burial. She did that. I'm happy with that. She put a smile on the Lord's. That's enough for her. Doesn't need to do anything else. That's it. That's good. Okay? So, fast. If you're not fasting, okay? Consecrate this season of praying and asking God for a vision for yourself and for the church. And in the end, expect God to do something in your life and in your ministry. Don't let the season pass without just, finally we're done with this fast. That was a long one. No. That was a great fast. You know, God gave me a vision during this time. If there is any time in the year to do that, it's this time. It's the fast of the church. It's the fast of the ministry. It's the fast of the service. It's the dedication. Pray that God sends service and servants to the field, to his field. Pray that God sends power and strength. Because we all need the power. Everybody's tired. Don't ever think that anyone will be serving God and he will be so relaxed. Things are easy and, you know, having fun and enjoying. You are enjoying. Sanpul was enjoying, and he was saying, rejoice in the Lord always. But he was in the jail that time. It was like one of his most down times. He was saying, he was praising God, and he was rejoicing. Rejoicing, you know, not because everything is okay and things are fun, but because the Lord is working. The Lord is using me. I put a smile on the face of the Lord. That's great. Even in the entire world tells me, you are crazy, and this is illogic and doesn't make any sense. I don't want to go too far and tell you that's how you know it's a vision from God, when it's crazy, you know, and sometimes illogic for yourself, not for others. You know, don't destroy everyone around you and then say it's a vision from God. No. You can only pay it on your own expense. And if you do it on your own expense, and you put a lot in it, that's good. And God will bless you. And God will honor you. We're doing it for God to honor us, but He is so faithful. You will never outgive God. Never. Don't even think about it. Think about the person who's giving most to the Lord. Ask this person. He's going to tell you, I'm the luckiest person on the planet. God has given me more than anyone else. I'm not giving anything. I'm receiving. And that's one of the signs. That's someone who's joyful, you know, happy to do that, and, you know, grateful for God to use him. So we want to reach that. We want to give our best, knowing that it's our privilege to put a smile on the face of the Lord, to extend the kingdom of God. And when God honors us, we say, Lord, we don't deserve it. We don't do anything. That's nothing. Okay? If your small group is sleepy, please pray about it. Pray for the people. And have a prayer list. And do special fastings for these people. By name, mention them by name. The people whom you are serving, put them in front of God and put your ministry in front of God and ask for His vision to the ministry and even to the church. I would love someone to come up, you know. As you know, we do crazy things here. Why? Because people come with the craziest and the best ideas, dreams of God. You know, I would love something like that. So let's take it serious and not think that, you know, this fast is long, I'm going to start late, things like this. That's defeating the purpose. It's a consequence. It has nothing to do with food. You start with food, then that defeated the entire purpose. Purpose is leaving everything aside and just dedicating this time for God and for His ministry. And God will bless the ministry. God will bless the kids, and God will bring forth fruits. If we do that specially together, like the apostles fasted together when they prayed together. I know that a lot of small groups are still suffering, and suffering mainly because of the leaders. I know that Sunday school, there isn't the outreach that we want. You know, I always ask for more outreach. And why we don't do outreach? Because it's inconvenient. It's not going to do much. No. Be brave enough, you know, to go over your comfort zone and your logic and the common sense and all of this. Do something, puts a smile on God's face. But don't do it on your own. God has to tell you. God has to give you the vision. God will give you the power and the strength to do it. Okay? Let's put our hands together. Let's pray together. Let's do that all together so God will bless us. In the beginning of the year, we said we want a revival in the church. And I told you, I cannot do it. The priest, I promise you, it's not the priest. It's all of us. Okay? So, let's do that together. Do you think if we pray for each other and for a revival in the church during this time, God is not going to listen to that? If we do it sincerely and prayerfully with fasting, God will definitely do it. And we're all going to benefit from the outcome of that. So let's do that. As I said in the Bible study, you always have a cap in your spiritual growth, and the cap is the church. If the church is that active in the spirit, I'm not talking about activities and many things that we do. In the spirit, that's your cap. If the church is here, it's going to challenge your faith, and you're going to grow. And if the church is sleeping, you know, we're all going to enjoy sleeping in the spirit. We don't want that. And God doesn't want that for us. And God gave us a vision in the beginning of the year that we have a jump. Small groups is one of the main things we want to participate in. Okay? Take it serious. If you're not in a small group, join a small group. If you haven't been active, be active in your small group. If you're a small group leader, then do your best. Pray for the people and pray for the meeting. Okay? Very good. Any question? Excellent. Let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters who are standing here. I thank you for their love for you, for their dedication, Lord, that brought them this evening here in the church. And I pray that this dedication, Lord, and this love would grow more and more. That you fill us more and more with your Holy Spirit, Lord. That you will bless the church, Lord. Lord, you give us a dream in the beginning of the year. That you would do great things amongst us. And that this church, Lord, would be a lighthouse for other people, other churches around the world. You will never do that, Lord, when we are scattered. But when we're gathered together, kneeling and submitting and begging for your mercy and for your grace, for all of us, Lord, we pray in Holy Lent for ourselves, for our spiritual life individually, but now for all, for the church, for the ministry. Pray for the servants, Lord, who are serving everywhere, for the missionaries. Pray for all those who are preaching your holy name around the world. We pray for all the Marys and Marthas around the world, Lord, who are doing your will in such an amazing way. Thank you, Lord, for great examples around us who love you and who dedicate their lives for you and who give without limit, Lord, without even thinking, illogically. Because this is how you loved, Lord. They discovered your love. Pray, Lord, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit during this time. That we may understand with all the saints the depth and the width and the length of the love of Jesus Christ. That the Holy Spirit would lead our lives, Lord. That we don't quench the Spirit within us, but be filled with the Spirit. Cannot do it without you, Lord. We're going to dedicate this time of the year as the church put for us. But this is never going to give us the Spirit. It is your promise, Lord. We're just obeying you of waiting here in Jerusalem, in your house, in your sanctuary, in prayer until you come and until you visit us. Praise you, we glorify you, Lord, for who you are and for the great things that you've done, for Ambabulus and his example and for honoring him. Thank you for the blessing that you're giving us here in this church, an extension of Kingdom of Heaven, Lord, within this church and the work you're doing, Lord, through so many great people who have dreams for your church and for your kingdom. Bless them, Lord, reward them and get more and more people, Lord, who have dreams and visions from you. In order to fulfill your passion and your dream and your mission and your vision for the church. I thank you, Lord, for every heart who's burning for your love and for doing your will here in this church. Pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the intercession of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, St. Paul, and St. Peter, and all the apostles, and all the people who have pleased you since the beginning. Hear us, Lord, and we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, and the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.